African economists note that African financial institutions so far have been spared the market-shaking collapses seen in the developed world. The head of Pan-African Capital Holdings in Johannesburg, Wiseman Kuchlu, says this is because African banks have not engaged in high-risk lending as seen in the United States and Europe.
Markets of African countries are not as sophisticated as the markets in the US and Europe, especially when it comes to securitization of mortgage bonds, which is behind this crisis.
The failure of mortgage bonds or housing loans due to rising interest rates in Western nations sparked the crisis. Mortgage bonds are not common in most African nations, but Kuchlu says the disruption they have caused may affect Africa's economic growth rate of 5% or more in many countries.
This crisis is of great concern because it may result in increased risk averseness on the part of banks and reduced flows to the region. The flows that have been responsible for the high levels of growth may actually decline in the coming years if the crisis continues.
The director of Ghana's Development Policy Institute, Nimoy Thompson, agrees, saying the effects of the global crisis on Africa are likely to be indirect.
One of the more likely direct effects is a decline in remittances to African countries as unemployment rises in North America, Europe, and other places. I mean, those Africans who live there and regularly send money home are less likely, in fact, may not be in a position to send home these monies.
In addition, he says as Western governments try to pay for their billion-dollar rescue packages, they might reduce foreign aid programs. Private humanitarian groups facing a drop in donations might have to do the same. Some experts worry that the crisis could delay large-scale agriculture and infrastructure projects and could even threaten social programs to improve health, education, and sanitation. Nevertheless, the experts say there could be some positive effects. Thompson says interest rates will probably decline.
As part of the effort to fight the crisis, these Western governments will have to keep interest rates down. So if that then leads to lower debt service, then that's better for us.
Another benefit could be lower prices for petroleum, food, and other basic goods due to a decline in demand. South African economist Nkuklu says he is optimistic that developed nations will remain committed to improving the quality of life in Africa.
The commitments and the relationship between the developed world and Africa in particular has matured, reached a point where the commitments are likely to be sustained even one under these difficult circumstances, possibly slightly reduced levels.
Thompson says other benefits from the crisis are the lessons to be learned, especially from the structural adjustment programs that sought to reduce government's role in the economy and encourage free market reforms.
The lessons are clear. The market forces can, in fact, be evil forces, and it takes effective, responsive, and competent institutions to contain them.
But he cautions against excessive moves to reassert government involvement in the economy.
We've been there before. The problem was that we moved from one extreme to the other. There needs to be some sense of balance, some sense of moderation as to how far the markets could be allowed to go and how far the government can maintain some degree of oversight over the markets to ensure that they are productive without necessarily being destructive.
But the president of Senegal, Abdoulaye Wade, concluded that the crisis means little to the average African.
Il ne faut pas juger l'effet de la crise par le fait que les bourgeois ne pourront plus voyager ou qu'ils vont plus.
He said, "Who cares if the bourgeois can no longer travel or live in comfort? The greatest menace to most Africans is hunger." And he said, "The amount of investment needed to feed people and create jobs in Africa is a fraction of the money being spent on the global financial crisis." Scott Bob, VOA News, Dakar.